Harlequin and Columbine. Money! Money! Shrieked the chemist, boxing Harlequin's ears. After all my kindness, I let you work for me, I feed you, I even give you the cloth to make that ridiculous suit of yours. And now you dare to ask for money? Ungrateful puppy, be off with you! And that was how poor little Harlequin came to be sitting on the steps of the chemist's shop without a job or a home. But Harlequin was not moping. I'm glad, he thought. I'll find myself a better master than him. What? One meal a day and a bundle of rags to make my clothes from? He looked down at his patchwork suit and smiled. One day I'll have a better suit than this. The door of a house across the street opened, and a servant boy came tumbling out. And don't come back! Shouted an old man from the doorway, shaking his fist. It was old Pantalone, the miser. A girl came to the door. Papa, that's the 364th servant you've sent packing this year. How will we ever find another one? Ah, good riddance, muttered the old man. Go and cook my dinner, Columbine. When Harlequin saw Columbine's lovely face, framed by long, tumbling curls, he turned a somersault for sheer joy. That's my next job, working for old Pantalone. He may be the meanest, most miserable man in this town, but he's got the prettiest daughter. So Harlequin went to work for Pantalone, and cleaned and cooked and ran errands all day long, while Pantalone grumbled. I don't know. Servants are so lazy these days. And look at that suit. Did you ever see such a ridiculous suit? Look at all this sunshine. It's not good for me. I'm a sick man. The light's too bright. Pull the curtains. This gravy's too hot. Your face is too cheerful. Stop smiling. Can't you see I'm ill? But Pantalone beat Harlequin so hard and so often that Harlequin knew the old man was really as fit as a fiddle. Despite the grumbling and the beating, Harlequin stayed cheerful, especially when Columbine smiled at him. Before long, he was head over heels in love with her, though she hardly noticed him. Harlequin was not the only person in love with Columbine. Brighello, an elegant villain from the smart side of town, called every day with flowers, sweets, or poetry. Columbine could not bear him and sent back his presents. She told him she could never love him. But still, Brighello came calling. One day, Harlequin found Columbine sitting on the staircase, crying as if her heart would break. Brighello is telling everyone he's going to marry me. What am I to do? Harlequin declared. I'll send him packing. I'll challenge him to a duel. Columbine's tears dried at once, and she started giggling. Oh, Harlequin, you little silly, you couldn't fight a duck with one wing. Her laughter brought old Pantalone to the top of the stairs. Does a sick man have to listen to all this laughing? I suppose you think it's funny that I suffer day and night. Too feeble to get out of bed, too weak to... Harlequin, sitting down, I don't pay you to sit chattering to my daughter. Take that! Ooh. And that!
Ooh. Ah. Ooh.
Ooh. Ah. Harlequin took to his heels and ran out of the house and down the street until he had to stop for breath. He found himself standing outside a barber's shop, and hanging on a hook by the door was a customer's cloak, bag, and hat. The customer was the famous physician, Dr. Balanzone. The barber gave a last flourish with the razor and handed the doctor the mirror.
"Splendidissimus," said the doctor. "You may fetch me my cloak."
But when the barber went to the hook by the door, the doctor's cloak and bag and hat had all gone.
"The thieves! Call out to the police! I've been robbed!" shouted the doctor.
On the steps of Pantalone's house, Harlequin wrapped the cloak round himself, pulled the hat over his ears, and knocked on the door. Columbine opened it.
Greetings, most elegant and esteemed lady. I am the famous Dr. Balanzone, world-renowned physician, surgeon, optician, and vet. I met that young fellow Harlequin in the street. He was dreadfully worried about his dear master, one Pantalone.
Pantalone, sir?
Ah, yes, that's the man. So I have come here to examine the gentleman.
Columbine's eyes were wide. Come in, sir. My father's in bed. Knees trembling under his disguise, Harlequin climbed the stairs. As soon as Columbine had announced him, he leapt onto the bed, took hold of Pantalone's nose and chin, and pulled open his mouth.
Yes, I see. Say ah. Cough. Breathe in. Breathe out. Get up and stand on your head. Good gracious, I do believe, yes, it must be, the first case for 50 years.
What?
Panted Pantalone.
Fit as a fiddlus, my dear sir, the dreaded fit as a fiddlus.
Pantalone plumped down on the bed in dismay.
Oh, is that serious?
Serious, my dear sir? It's awful, 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 awfulissimus. Oh, thank goodness young Harlequin sent for me when he did.
Oh, you mean still hope, doctor?
Ah, well, I fear the medicine is very expensive. You may not be able to afford it.
Pantalone leapt off the bed. He tossed the mattress up against the wall and pulled out a woolen sock stuffed with coins.
Will this be enough, doctor?
Harlequin counted the money.
Just enough. How fortunate. Here's your medicine.
And he gave Pantalone the nastiest-looking, worst-smelling potion out of the doctor's bag.
Rub it into your head twice a day, and you will certainly live.
Harlequin got up to go. But at the door he stopped and caught Columbine by the hand.
Ah, my dear young lady, I can't help noticing a certain sparkle in your eyes. Are you too ill?
No, sir, squeaked Columbine.
Forgive me, but I thought you... You aren't troubled, then, by ugly young men making a nuisance of themselves at your door?
Columbine gasped.
Oh, sir, you're so clever.
I am Dr. Balanzone, surgeon, vet, and dentist to the king. I am never wrong. Take this stick, and when any young man tries to hold your hand or kiss you or read poetry to you, beat him smartly over the head with it. I think you will be cured within the week.
Out into the street went Harlequin, whistling with joy. Antolone was leaning out of his bedroom window, grinning from ear to ear and singing, "I'm cured, I'm cured, what a wonderful doctor!" With Pantalone's money, Harlequin bought a brand new suit. It was in the same colours as the last one, but spangled with gold dust, so that it glittered in the sunlight. On his way home, he passed Brighello, clutching his head. "Oh, good day, Signor Brighello. What's wrong?"
"It's little Columbine," he wailed. "I sang a serenade under her window, and she hit me with a stick. I'm never going there again. No, not in your life."
Harlequin watched him go. What a splendid day it had been. A new suit and Brighello sent packing. Columbine was standing on her balcony, looking as pretty as a picture. "Today's my lucky day," thought Harlequin. "I'll ask her to marry me." And he broke into song.
"Oh, Columbine, why can't you see? Sweet Columbine, you're meant for me."
Columbine picked up the stick the doctor had given her, leant down, and whacked him.
"Oh,
go away. Dr. Balanzoni taught me the cure for troublesome young men. Dr. Balanzoni is wonderful, so clever. Leave me alone to dream about the dear, dear doctor." So Harlequin went to his bed in the kitchen and curled up among the pots and pans. He sighed and rubbed his battered head. But he was happy when he saw his glittering suit hanging up in the moonlight. A week later, Pantalone was grumbling as much as ever about servants, daughters, and the weather. But Columbine, locked in her room, was crying her heart out. Her father had promised her in marriage to a certain Captain Spaventi.